Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Martin Lewis, who is a US-based English humorist, writer, radio and TV host, producer. He's known for his work in a variety of projects, including co-creating and co-producing, along with John Cleese, The Secret Policeman's Ball, benefit shows for Amnesty International. He appears regularly on television and writes prolifically for The Huffington Post and other publications. Welcome to Background Briefing, Martin Lewis.
Hello, good to be back with you.
And today, or tonight, as we speak, there's a state dinner for the British Prime Minister David Cameron. There's been a meeting all day at the White House. Yesterday, they caught a NCAA basketball game, President Obama and Prime Minister Cameron. I take it, though, that Cameron's more of a cricket man, right?
I think he's more of a cricket man, and the English are ever adaptable, especially when it comes to people who they need to borrow money from. So I'm sure he sat through the basketball game and ate the hot dog with a big smile on his face.
And obviously, whenever the British Prime Minister and the American President get together, they pretend they're Churchill and Roosevelt, right?
Well, I suppose so, but without the blanket. I mean, the thing about this special relationship, as it was so called, is that it's a marriage of great convenience for both parties. I mean, let's face it, the United States of America, which I'm delighted to live in, is basically a like Britain, but just not quite so classy. So on the other hand, the British, we the British, wearing my original homeland hat, are like the Americans, but we haven't got any money, or rather we've got even less money than you. So, and we don't have an empire anymore. So it's a question of a kind of old uncle without any money and a young nephew with not much money either.
So what do we have in common? Rupert Murdoch?
Yes, we both detest Rupert Murdoch. I think that's the only thing is that the British are very pleased that he took U.S. citizenship. However, I'm very curious about something. When he took U.S. citizenship in 1986, I think, he presumably had to go through a very rigorous set of hearings. I'd like to think that in the light of all the information that's come up in the last year, including the fact that officials at his corporation in the UK were bribing policemen, bribing officials, that's actually against the law here in the United States. And perhaps if he made representations in his immigration hearings where he was taking U.S. citizenship that conflict with that kind of moral turpitude, perhaps that could be re-examined. I don't know.
Well, it seems like all those around Rupert Murdoch are heading for the hills or being arrested or being basically fired in the case of James Murdoch, his son. He told MPs in this inquiry in Britain that he accepted responsibility for not uncovering wrongdoing earlier. He is, of course, a victim of the famous Fawn Neville email in which it suggested that James Murdoch knew about these wrongdoings, and they went far beyond the single reporter in the memo, Neville Thirlbeck, who was rearrested today.
Indeed. Well, first of all, and this does not apply just to James Murdoch, this is just a general point about our present-day society. There is a world of difference between people issuing a press release or a statement saying, I accept full responsibility for something, and actually accepting full responsibility. I think a lot of people seem to think that it's rather like an apology. If you say it, then you've done it. But what is the exact definition of accepting full responsibility? Simply saying it doesn't seem to be it. Now, James Murdoch is out as the head of News Corp at the moment, only because the U.S. News Corp don't wish to be tarred with that rather unpleasant brush. But he's still at the moment the head of Murdoch's satellite TV operations in the UK. But he'll be jettisoned if he seems to be interfering with that too.
Well, I was amused, Martin Lewis, again. Martin Lewis is the US-based English humorist, writer, radio and TV host. And we're doing an update on all news that is British with the British Prime Minister visiting the White House today. But what's going on back in England seems awful, a lot more interesting. I was amused to learn, Martin, that the Metropolitan Police rearrested Neville Thirlbeck, arrested him by appointment. Now, that sounds very genteel.
Well, he must have been a member of an old boys' club. He may have gone to the right school, have the right school tie. The whole thing about the English, we are very genteel. You know, we don't go in for these low-speed chases in a white Bronco. If it's a white-collar crime, we basically say, look, would you mind terribly? We think you've done something a little bit on the naughty side. If you wouldn't mind popping down for a cup of tea and a bun, perhaps around 4 o'clock, if that would suit you, that would be terribly nice. So that does tend to go on a little bit.
Well, what I find extraordinary, though, is that the Rebecca Brooks, who was clearly Murdoch's protege in News Corp, she's been arrested along with her husband, Charlie. Their next-door neighbour, I understand, is none other than the British Prime Minister, David Cameron?
Yes, they're all part of a rather tony set in that part of England. It's kind of rather like the Hamptons. It's the British equivalent of the Hamptons, where sort of fancy New Yorkers go to mingle amongst with each other. And the Chipping Norton set, as they're called, Chipping Norton set, they go hunting together and so on. And in fact, so cozy were the relationships were between Rebecca Brooks, who at the time was the editor of the News of the World newspaper, Murdoch's Sunday tabloid, and the British Metropolitan Police, we think of that as Scotland Yard, that they were so cozy together that they were giving her police horses that were no longer fit for service. They were just giving them to her to look after. David Cameron reputedly rode on one of these horses. You're basically talking about a close relationship. I'm trying to think of, this would be like a cozy relationship between the editor of the New York Post and, say, the head of the FBI, where you think there needs to be some proper distance, or somebody, the head of the Justice Department, the Attorney General. You need to have a little bit of distance. Otherwise, how are you going to have clear, fair operations of things that involve the police and the newspapers? So there was David Cameron was such a friend of these people that he was visiting them, riding on horses loaned to this editor of the newspaper by the police, who that newspaper was bribing to give them secret information to write news stories to make money. It's a very unsavory business, and frankly, David Cameron is very happy to be away from England when all these arrests are happening.
Well, she was arrested, Rebecca Brooks was among six people arrested by what's called Operation Weeting, officers of Operation Weeting, a new task force that they formed on suspicion of conspiring to pervert the course of justice. But it looks as though the Metropolitan Police and Scotland Yard were on Murdoch's payroll.
They were on the payroll, and in fact, this is a very belated investigation because they did investigations, I believe, in around 03, 04. They did an investigation in 06, another investigation in 08. And on each occasion, the Metropolitan Police, after very thorough investigation, some of which lasted more than 45 minutes, after about 45 minutes of investigation, said, oh, there's not enough evidence here, and would drop the cases. And this went on until the Guardian newspaper, which is a British paper that I think you can see online here in the United States, they investigated and found so much evidence that they caused all of this to be brought to attention. And now, belatedly, Scotland Yard is investigating. But part of when you have a thing, a crime called a conspiracy to pervert the course of justice, this is basically the equivalent of what happened to Richard Nixon in Watergate. This is basically interfering with the justice system. Perverting the course of justice means that you're trying to destroy evidence. And apparently, and I'm sure this was just an accident, but apparently something like 10 million emails of the last few years all accidentally got wiped out one day. I don't know why this happened, but apparently 10 million emails of the News of the World and the Murdoch Corporation all got wiped out, and for some inconvenient reason they now can't give them to the investigators. It's very puzzling how that would happen.
And of course, the investigators, Martin Lewis, again, US-based English humorist, writer, radio and TV host and producer, the investigative body of the British Parliament is the Commons Culture, Media and Sports Committee.
Well, that's because it's always considered good sport to try and prosecute politicians and newspaper people. So they do that. One of the leading, you might remember, there was a testimony given by Rupert Murdoch and his son, and somebody actually threw a custard pie or foam pie in the face of Rupert Murdoch during those hearings. The grilling, and it was such a gentle grilling compared to the kind of work that happens in a congressional committee. Rupert Murdoch, actually, a lot of people felt came out of it quite well because he was able to put on this image of being a rather doddering old man that couldn't really remember things, which is not really consistent with what people say about Rupert Murdoch, that he's extremely sharp, even at his age, sharp as a tack. But that was one of the main questioners was a lady called an MP called Louise Mensch, who happens to be married to the manager of Metallica. So there's just it's wonderful to watch this pop cultural convergence where you're seeing the manager of Metallica cross-examining Rupert Murdoch with softball questions. I found it quite endearing.
And she's a mensch, right?
Well, she's married to a mensch. Peter Mensch, who is the co-manager of Metallica, is a mensch, a delightful fellow. I don't have quite so much experience of his wife, who is a Conservative MP, extremely attractive. But she the questions that she lobbed to Murdoch were pandering and softball, to say the least.
Well, I recall that incident where the pie was thrown in his face, and his wife, the Chinese lady, who I think they've effectively estranged, leapt, you know, like crouching tiger to defend him.
Oh, she did. Wendy Deng, whose name, incidentally, in China, and I checked this from a very authoritative Chinese source, my local Chinese restaurant. Her name is actually pronounced Deng. And I thought that was, rather strange that a woman married to Rupert Murdoch, whose first name in the first part of his second name, Merde, in French, also is the same name as his wife's name in Chinese. Merde and Deng. Interestingly about her, I mean, one thing about her is amazing. She has to be given credit for this. A lot of people encountering I think he was about 70 years old at the time, would have looked at this withering old man and just been repulsed by him. But apparently, it was sort of financial lust at first sight. I mean, she just found him completely irresistible, and one can't really be sure why.
Well, Martin Lewis again, US-based English humorous writer, radio and TV host and producer. He's produced a variety of projects, including co-creating and co-producing, along with John Cleese, The Secret Policeman's Ball benefit shows for Amnesty International. And you made the point, and I think it's it looks incredibly fortuitous that Prime Minister Cameron left town to meet with President Obama at the time of this flurry of arrests of his next-door neighbour and all of his friends and the kingmaker in British politics, Rupert Murdoch.
Well, yes, but I'm more concerned, actually, about the White House dinner tonight, because it's not really a state dinner, because, he may be in a state, but he's not actually the head of state. That is Her Majesty the Queen that's the head of state. He's the head of government.
By the way, that's a point that was there had to be... Sarah Palin had to be instructed on that. Did you see the movie?
I certainly did. Game change. In fairness to Sarah Palin, she was still having to be instructed about who we were fighting World War II against, so she can't really be expected to understand complicated things like who the head of state of Britain is. That's not fair on Sarah Palin. She can only see Russia from her house. She can't actually see Great Britain. But the reason I'm worried about the state dinner tonight is this. David Cameron, when he was a younger man, attended Oxford University, and rather the equivalent of the clubs that George W. Bush and John Kerry were a member of at Harvard, Yale, those sort of skull and bone society. David Cameron belonged to a society called the Bullingdon Club, and they were very basically rich kids who dressed up in very distinctive and very distinguished-looking outfits that made them look like cast-offs from Duran Duran or Spandau Ballet. But they would go round... The main thing that the Bullingdon Club members would do is they would go round Oxford Town, which is a really beautiful, beautiful old English town. They would go into restaurants, maybe about 20 or 30 of them, order everything on the meal, on the menu, have this fantastic feast, unlimited champagne, and then destroy the restaurant. I mean, literally smash everything to pieces. They were rather like The Who on the Smothers Brothers show. They would just smash the furniture. But this wasn't wanton destruction, of course. They would then pay for the destruction. They would just be so wealthy, they would literally open up their creaking wallets and throw large amounts of cash on the floor to cover the cost of destruction. And this was this passed for amusement among young conservative gentlemen of David Cameron's class. This was what they did in the early 80s. I'm only worried that if he has some kind of flashback to that behavior, it is quite conceivable that he may just simply, having a rather large wallet with him, he may just decide to trash the White House tonight and then offer to pay for the damage.
Well, as long as he can borrow the money from the Americans.
Well, that's exactly. Who, in turn, of course, will borrow them from the Chinese, which is where we came in with Wendy Deng. So really, what the world comes down to now is we're all looking to Murdoch's Wendy Deng to bail us all out.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Martin Lewis.
My great pleasure. Love to do it with you.
Again, I've been speaking with Martin Lewis, who is a US-based English humorist, writer, radio and TV host and producer. He's known for his work on a variety of projects, including co-creating and co-producing, along with John Cleese, The Secret Policeman's Ball, benefit shows for Amnesty International, and he appears regularly on TV and writes prolifically for The Huffington Post and other publications. Again, I'd like to invite you all to join me for the UCLA Hammer Forum. I'm hosting on getting rid of super PACs, which are overwhelming our already money-driven political election system. Lawrence Lessig, a professor at Harvard, is joining us. He's written a book called Republic Lost. Again, tomorrow night at 7 p.m., free and open to the public at the UCLA Hammer Forum in Westwood. Join me. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Chris Scheid. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing.
Bye for now.